Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life.
This episode, Harry's been out doing some naked running. We've both had some unusual yoga experiences. We discuss the curse of busyness and also talk about how we're not going to write off December.
Hi, Lissy.
Hello, Harry.
How are you?
I'm good. This is, we're back to being a bit unusual and doing it on Skype again. So we're like staring at each other on a computer screen.
Hey, at least we've got the video working.
I know, this is good. So, yay. Hey. I'm in Edinburgh in a hotel room.
Yes, what lovely beige wall you have behind you.
Yes, quite. And you're at home in London.
I am.
So yes.
It's just, I think it's as cold here as it is there, though, I'm pretty sure.
It's definitely not. I'm sitting in the fridge. I'm having a few heating issues. We've had a lovely concierge man just appear on our Skype as he was bringing me a heater.
Admittedly, you are wearing, like, you're wrapped up in a very thick, chunky scarf.
Yes, but it's quite cold here. It was cold in London this morning, but it was really sunny when I left.
Anyway, it was like really nice.
And then we landed to grey skies and rain and really cold. And it was pretty bumpy landing because we just basically came through loads of rain clouds.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
So, yeah, I got off feeling a little bit clammy-handed, which hasn't happened in a while.
It's not a nice experience at all.
I was kind of like bouncing down through some clouds. But, yay, I'm here. I'm in Scotland. Yay. And I feel very Christmassy. Went round the Christmas markets earlier and had my first mulled cider of the season.
Oh, a treat. So, I was discussing, I quite want a mince pie. I know you've had about 20.
I've had a lot of mince pies already. Yeah, I'm done with mince pies now. I'm over them. I'm bring on the mould stuff.
Mould is good.
Yeah, I need to make my own mince pies. I think that will really bring the festiveness.
Nice. Do you always make them, or is this a new
That's the only thing I do to help with Christmas. Oh, which I only started eating mince pies last Christmas, but I always used to make them. I just never ate them.
So what have you been doing the last few weeks?
I did another Paxter session with Lauren this week.
Oh, lovely.
We did the hamstring heaven, which I think you've done as
yes,
well.
Yes, I'm very familiar with hamstring.
It was really funny because at the beginning I said, oh, I'm really glad we're doing hamstrings. They're really tight. And she went, I'm just going to warn you. Halfway through she breaks into the splits. I was like, oh,
I forgot about that bit.
I will not be doing that. So yeah, when she just was like, go as far as you can, I was like, that's about an inch. And then we just kind of sat there going, yeah, she's just in the splits and we're not. So that was quite funny. Right. I was like, this is not heaven. No.
That's a bit of a rant. I forgot that happened in that.
Yeah.
The rest of it's quite good.
No, it's good. And yeah. Nice and relaxing.
Did you do the thing where Lauren and I tend to have like a chat that's nearly as long as the class that we do?
It got to the point where I was like, yeah, I actually need to do this, otherwise we might as well just Skype.
Yeah, there's like, there's no point being here. No, it's fun. It's good. I'm finding it a good way to stay in touch with Lauren as well, because she's over in Bristol.
And what else have I done? I haven't done any running this week, but I have been to the gym a couple of times at work. I'm having to overcome my doing some weights and going in like the section where all the men are doing their free weights, having to overcome the fact that not only am I in the weight section, but I'm also with all my colleagues.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about work gyms. I mean,
I've always been dead against it. Pretty much everywhere I've worked, apart from one place, has had a gym in the office because they were quite big companies. And I've always been, I'm not working out with my colleagues. It's really awkward.
Yeah.
And I kind of came to the conclusion that it's my best chance of actually sticking to it, as it's only a lift ride away.
Yeah, it's so near.
But one of my my really close colleagues goes all the time. So that's going to be awkward the day I finally see him in the gym.
It's just inevitable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose everybody, it's probably a bit like, you know, when you sometimes bump into someone on the way to work and everyone knows that really when you're on the way to work, you don't want to speak to anyone yet. So there's an element of like, sometimes you're like, hi, and then you just carry on. I think it'll be like that.
It's a bit
It'll be like a mutual understanding that you're like, I'm doing my thing, but we don't need to chat right now.
Yeah, because there was someone that was in the gym with me at the same time, but then she spoke to me when we were in the changing room. It was like, now we're in a place where we can talk. But yeah, in the gym, we don't talk.
I respect that. That's my style.
It's kind of like the reverse of, you know how people that you meet through running, when you see them not in running clothes, you're like, oh, that's what you look like in normal clothes. It's like the opposite of that. They're like, oh, this is what you look like in Lycra.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's like seeing anybody from work out of context just confusing.
I kind of prefer it the other way around, because at least then once you've transitioned into normal clothes, you probably look a bit better. Whereas transitioning into gym clothes is kind of like a decline.
The running sweaty mess.
Yeah.
The look. Yep. Amazing.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
But good that you're getting. So you're going at lunch?
Yeah, going at lunch or after work. So last Friday, I was in the gym still at work at 6:30 in the evening. Woo, Friday night.
Raven. Wild.
Yeah, it's good.
It's wild.
How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, bar the usual working and seeing theatre things, I've been doing a bit of running. I'm definitely feeling it's hard to motivate, but I'm just thinking, I'm like, if I go for a run, that's like good. I'm just going out for a run. And I managed to, the other day, forget my watch, and then my phone battery died, and I decided that I'd still run anyway. And had this whole like liberating moment where I was like, realized I've never actually run without any knowledge of time or distance or anything before. And it was really weird. I thought I had done that, but it was totally freeing and quite mentally I kept being like, I wonder if this pace is, what is this pace? I wonder if I like how far I've gone. But actually when I kind of let go of that, I quite enjoyed it. And I understand what people mean now when they say, oh yeah, I run with that watch. Like, it makes so much sense. It is freeing. But I don't know if I could do it all the time though. And it just shows how much I do rely on my watch, because at every traffic light, I went to kept touching my wrist to pause it. And I realized, I was like, there's nothing there. I was like, oh my God, I have some weird addiction to my Garmin.
Yeah, so I'm going to do record accurately. Like
that. Yeah. Yeah. How strange that it's just so part of my mentality. And I knew roughly, like when I got home, I did a map my run on it. And I knew what time I'd left.
I like you then went back and did it anyway.
Yeah, I had to. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I couldn't have left it. I needed to know. But, of course, what it proved to me was that I ran at the same speed I always run at, and it was fine. So I was kind of like, I don't need to rely on anything, and actually I can, you know, free myself from technology for a bit. Yeah, that was a revelation. What else did I do? I've been to some yoga, which has been nice. I went to like a special class. So actually through Paxter and YouTube, Steffi White is this really, really lovely YouTube kind of yoga teacher who does teach in real life, but I can never seem to get to any of her classes. But she's lovely and great. Just the right kind of mix of kind of calming, but quite an intense class. And so I really enjoyed that. It actually was on in Peckham, so it was really near where I live. And it was an hour and a half. So it felt very indulgent to like go and just spend an hour and a half doing yoga. But it was really good. There was a bit at the end where she invited this person to come along who was like, I'm going to get it wrong. They're like, she had like crystal bowls in front of her. And then she had a stick made of crystal that you kind of like play, you make them make sound. Right. You know, like when you rub your finger around the rim of a glass. Yeah, that, but in a more kind of crazy way. So for the final, you know, like 10 minutes moment, she was playing this sound and singing, and it was incredible, but it was also quite a surreal experience. It was very about being in, you know, zoning out and listening to the music, and it reminded me of how much sometimes I'm more of a runner that goes to yoga than a yoga person, if that makes sense.
Yes. I think we've both had quite weird yoga experiences this fortnight. So I went to something that was quite interesting on Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
So it was the Lululemon Yoga Rave at Village Underground in Shoreditch, which is like a rave / gig venue normally.
Okay. Those things don't sound like they would go together.
No, it didn't really tell you anything like specific about it on like the info beforehand, other than we want you to be happy, and this is, and I was like, well, Lululemon events are usually quite good, so it was free.
Are they the ones that did the, when you guys went to the one at the Opera House, and yes, it was all loads of people?
Yes, that was awesome, because that was a huge yoga class in the Royal Opera House, and it had a live string quartet as like the music, and that was incredible. It was so good. So I was like, fine, I'm going to go to this. It's probably going to be good. So yeah, they'd made the floor, so it was basically dark, had a disco ball going around, and everyone had glow sticks on, and they'd made the floor basically one big yoga mat. They just put like all of the mats together, so it was like everyone was really close and packed in, but that was fine. Then we started, and it was a guy called Mark who did the first bit of the practice, so he did like a really good, it was quite an intense like vinyasa flow, quite fast and quite strong. And we were like, yeah, this is good. And he was like, yeah, we're going to get you like sweaty, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Then it swapped over to, I think her name was Gloria. She was Canadian. And we started off sitting cross-legged and kind of like hitting the floor and then clapping, hitting the floor, then clapping above our heads, and then kind of like chanting with it. And I was like, fine, can go with this for a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of the whole time presuming we were going to go back into
yoga
at some point. Bear in mind, this was an hour and a half long, so we'd only had like 20 minutes of vinyasa flow, maybe half an hour. It kind of felt to standing and like throwing our arms behind our back and then above our head and stomping, hitting the floor from standing, like being in a sumo squat position. Developed into, now take a partner and hold their hands. And I can't remember what song it was she put on to start with, but they were all pretty cheesy. And she was like, and dance! And we were just kind of like dancing. And
really?
And I was just kind of like, how have we got to this place? Like a minute ago we were in the middle of yoga and now we're kind of dancing. And it got to the point where we were like leaning on a partner, singing Lean On Me at them. We were all holding hands and singing All You Need Is Love. We were rocking backwards and forwards, singing All I Want For Christmas Is You. And that was the point when, so I went with our friend Charlie, and the longer it got on, the more she wasn't enjoying herself.
I don't know if I would have enjoyed that.
It was a bit
weird. It's not really anything, like.
No, it was an interesting experience. Hmm. And she was just like, I'm not happy anymore, I'm just angry. And I was like, yeah, I am not sure I can deal with this. I think it's because we weren't expecting it, because we've both been to, we've spoken before about Morning Gloryville, which is the morning rave. So like the dancing while sober thing isn't really a problem. It's more that we weren't really expecting it, and it wasn't yoga.
Yeah, you were just expecting more of a yoga class. Do you think that was just like the rave section? Maybe it was like yoga / rave, not yoga rave, because I thought it was like, I don't know, yoga in a kind of raving style.
Yeah, I can kind of deal with the chanting for like 5 minutes, but it bordered on probably like 40-45 minutes of dancing / chanting.
God, that's weird. Yeah, no, I think I'd definitely recommend the class I went to then, either to be more in touch with your spiritual moment. A lot more
calm. I
don't
know what happened after the class, because we left whilst it was still going on, but we did get taken for a free drink, which we then left behind. So, yeah, I was just a bit annoyed that I kind of, well, not wasted a whole evening, but spent a whole evening doing something that wasn't quite what I had expected.
So, that's what we've been up to. What are you looking forward to? What's happening in the next, I don't know, God, it's nearly 2016.
It is nearly 2016. So I am actually starting to get excited about racing again.
Woo! Oh, the race ban is over.
Yeah. So we are both doing 10K in January.
Yes.
In Regent's Park.
It's Regent's Park, isn't it?
Yes.
Yay!
So that's probably only like 6 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your first one. And then I think we've all got a few other races on the horizon. But then we, excitingly, have now sorted out that we're both doing one Hackney.
Can we? I think we need like matching outfits for this.
Yes, I agree. Oh my goodness, can we do matching outfits?
Can we have? We should have OFTR related matching.
Let's
outfits.
Just get a whole kit.
Kit.
Let's even get like a tracksuit to wear before and after the race as well.
Yeah, because I think we need to look like we mean business.
Yes.
Well, I'm very excited. I'm intrigued. I did the Run Hackney race the first year when it was like hotter than the world. And I had quite a hard race because it was so hot. But this is earlier in the year.
Yeah, it's in May. It's the second weekend of May.
Okay, cool.
Which still has the potential to be quite warm.
It does. It does.
It's quite an unusual time of year for races, I think. Yeah, I haven't run it yet. I've cheered for the last 2 years. And even last year, I said, this is going to be one of the races that I never run. I'm just going to cheer because it's so fun cheering. So, yeah, also one of the things I'm going to try and do as we're on the cusp of December is not kind of write off December altogether, because I was having a conversation with my housemate, Gosha, about this the other day.
Well, she's in training mode, right?
Well, yeah. And also I went back and I retweeted a link to something I wrote at the end of December last year, where I'd basically not done anything all month and all I'd done was drink and I just felt horrible. And I was like, I'm not going to do it this year. And she said, oh yeah, I've noticed how so many people are kind of like writing off December before it's even started. Like, oh yeah, I'll start this in January, or I'll do this in January, or oh, there's no point even thinking that I'm going to get to the gym in December because of this, this and this.
Yeah. I don't want to be like that.
No, because I was thinking about doing Brighton half at the end of February. And in my head, I was like, well, I've got 8 weeks to train from the 1st of January. But really, if I said, oh, I've got 12 weeks to train from tomorrow, then that's like 50% more time training. But in my head, I'd already written off December altogether.
Yeah, like it's how I am at the moment. It's like just getting out and going for a bit of a run will help, like just bobbing along. And that's why I think the main thing is, even if you don't build it up substantially, just being able to get out there and keep moving will help.
Yeah. So I'm planning on fitting things in December.
Yeah. Mine is around, I was thinking something similar. I think because everybody, you know, it feels like all of the Christmas advertising is on. Oh, it's like Christmas is overload already. And I was thinking about how I always come out of December feeling so lethargic and so, like, I've eaten and drank everything in sight and I want to come out this month feeling a bit more motivated about things and excited about, like, a 2016 plan rather than being like, I just need to start from zero again because I just let it all go to pot.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to start from zero. I want kind of a running start. Also, I think last December I was dating quite a lot, which does not help the alcohol consumption.
Mm, this is true.
But that doesn't seem to really be...
No one's well, having... there is still time for that as well.
There is still time for that, but I've deleted all the dating apps off my phone and I'm determined to get a date like in real life.
You do some in real life. I think it's all about trying to set a mini goal for yourself on the date front, you know, smile at one person a week, say hi.
I'm going to try that more often because I cannot be dealing with Tinder anymore.
I think that's fair enough.
Tinder is bad for my soul.
I don't know how anyone does it. I don't remember. I started going out with someone before like Facebook existed, as Facebook reminded me when I got like one of those history things that was like you made friends with.
Yeah, you've been friends for 7 years and you're like, no, it's been longer than that.
It was quite funny. I was like, because we were in a relationship from the first day of when we both got Facebook. So it gave us like an anniversary thing. And I was like, yeah.
It was before that.
You're a few years, just to add a year on.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, that is like literally two different times, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before Facebook existed, now, like, I can't get a date without using an app on my phone.
It's a crazy world. Yeah, we're just going out. That's the plan. December can be going out, but not too much drinking.
Yes.
And it's true that my calendar is already getting so full of social gatherings, which sounds like such a complaint. But, I mean, they're all things I really want to do. And it's such a great time of year as an excuse to go and meet up with people and catch up with people you haven't seen for a while. But it's just that feeling of, like, there's something on every night.
It's definitely a time of year where more than usual people are like, oh, so busy, or, like, it's the whole kind of writing December off thing again, isn't it? It's like, oh yeah, I can't see, or I'm gonna really struggle to fit you in, or
god. And that I'm the worst though. My default answer to anything, if anyone asks how I am, I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm just really busy. That I will default, yeah, say that.
Yeah,
I was I was thinking about that recently. I read some stuff and it was really like, I should get out of that habit, because it is a default. I don't probably even, well, I probably mean it is in the fact of I feel like I am busy, but actually if I like tried to write down what I've been doing, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely people like to say that they're busy because it I don't know, I guess it's an easy answer. And also a lot of people feel like then they don't, especially with work things, that they won't seem important or hardworking enough if they don't say they're busy.
Time is money.
Time is money. I work with someone who's always really open about when she hasn't got much on, and everyone is always really shocked when she says it. But it doesn't mean she's like any less valuable to our team or any less hardworking. It's just that every so often she hasn't got as much on as other people, or as she can do sometimes. So
yeah,
like I spoke to her the other day and I was like, how are you? And she was like, not very busy. I was like, no one ever says they're not very busy.
No one says that. It's weird. Why does it have such a negative connotation that if you're not busy, exactly, if you're not busy, you're not you're lazy, effectively. Mm. And I think it's as much it's just a social pressure, isn't it? It's just yourself making you feel worried about it.
Curse of multitasking as well.
Oh God.
Because there's like when multitasking like first became like a buzzword, and it was like the thing you were supposed to do was be able to multitask. I've come to the conclusion that multitasking isn't a thing. It's actually impossible. I'm the worst at it, especially if I'm in the office. I get so distracted. I don't concentrate on one thing for long enough to get it done.
No. And then you do a little bit of everything, but not get anything done.
Yeah. Or if I start doing something and I'll get distracted, and then like 10 minutes later, I'll be like, oh, that's why that's open.
Yeah. Same.
Or, oh, I completely forgot to do that. And I'm really bad for it. If I don't write something down, I'll just forget to do it, because that's why I just get distracted.
Yeah. It's definitely, yeah, it's exactly what I do. Exactly what I do. That I need to write it all on a list, but then I actually need to stick to my list. I've discovered this thing called the Pomodoro technique, which is where you have a timer, and you have to shut everything down and have your list, and then you work on one task at a time, and you have 25 minutes, and you can have the timer so it'll go off after 25 minutes, and then you get a 5-minute break. And I read about it, this guy who said it'd be really hard to do lots of those in a row. What you should do is every time you've completed a full one, so you've done 25 minutes on something, no interruptions, one task, and then had the break, you should mark it down in your notepad, so that you not only achieve your list, you also achieve more, like as many Pomodoros as you can do. Mm. Because I found that I can do it for like the morning. I can do a couple up to lunch, and then people start to interrupt you, or you get distracted, or you kind of lose your concentration, and it becomes a lot harder.
Mm.
It's so great. Like, if you can do it, if you can find that pocket of time where you really do focus, you just get so much more done, or you feel like it's the achievement of getting things done. And that's when I feel less stressed about being busy, because I'm getting things done. I'm ticking them off. I'm always feel stressed about being busy when I have lots of tabs open and I'm trying to talk to someone and answer a question while trying to do three other jobs at the same time.
Now you just,
and reply to an email.
That thing you just said about tabs open, I was talking to some male colleagues of mine the other day about how much is always like in my, about multitasking, and about how much is always in my brain. And I was like, have you seen that like phrase, like, if you want to know what a woman's brain is like, imagine like loads and loads of tabs open of a browser, like that's a woman's brain all the time. And all of my female colleagues were like, that is so true.
It's
and all
so
of
true.
My male ones were like, sometimes there could be genuinely nothing going on in my brain. And I was like, imagine if that was the case. I was like, no, that doesn't happen.
I know. Well, we were discussing earlier, like Pete was saying he'd quite happily sit and stare at a wall. And I was like, yeah. And then he went, you'd only be able to do that for 5 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. Switching off is hard.
It is hard. And I think that's why I get so distracted, because I just think of something else that I've got to do, or well, not even got to do, but yeah. something else that I ought to do maybe, or that I want to do, and then it just, yeah, it spirals out of control. But how much do you think of it is a generational thing, like what we were saying last week about, or last time about
like age, yeah, older and younger?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Because I think my mum is a brilliant multitasker, actually. She really can, genuinely. But perhaps that's like in a home environment as well.
Yeah, I've you know? Kind of maybe got a theory that it's because we're so used to like having a phone and watching TV and doing loads of stuff at the same time. Like, we kind of expect to be able to do it, but it's maybe got to the point where it's just too much now. And we're not used to just focusing on one thing. So like,
yeah, it's much harder.
My parents always, like, whenever I go home, they're always like, why do you need to like sit on your phone whilst you're watching TV? Because they would just do that. Like, if they're watching TV, they're watching TV. If they're eating dinner, they're eating dinner. They're not doing like,
yeah, that's a load true. Of things at once. Yeah, that's very true. They're much more aware of like, I'm doing this one task now.
Yeah.
Whereas we're trying to do one and then we're thinking about the next one already and maybe starting it. I find that I can end up saying yes to a lot of things, which means I'm then trying to play a constant game of like, kind of, who said it the other day? Diary Tetris, like trying to make stuff fit in and make it work. And I do a lot of that. And then I maybe don't prioritize the things that I think are the me time stuff, where you literally do stare at a wall or go to a crazy yoga class.
Yeah. And I read something the other day that said, you shouldn't say you're busy. You should, instead of focusing on being busy, you should focus on being focused. So you are still busy, you're still doing something with your time, but you're really deliberate about what you're spending your time on. So I guess that's the same thing, like really picking the things that you want to do,
rather than
trying to do everything all at once all of the time,
because that's also then you take value from it because you focused on that one thing. So then it becomes it, so you choose the things that are more valuable to you. Maybe
I think my favourite thing I read on this topic recently was a tweet that someone wrote that was just, make fewer promises but keep all the ones you do.
Yeah, I really like that.
And it doesn't necessarily mean to other people, it just means that like it could even be your to-do list. You write a to-do list because you're basically promising yourself you're going to do all those things.
Mm.
So don't write things on there that you have no intention of doing.
Yeah. And actually someone advised me the other day about breaking big, like make tasks into like micro tasks, like break them down into small steps and write all of those things down. So you can achieve them and you'll feel like you get to that bigger goal in the long run. Quite like that too. So tell me about your...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
London series update.
So we've done
what have we done so far?
We've done views and we've done buildings. So cool. This time we're doing favorite parks of London. So what's your favorite park?
My favorite park is Regent's Park, which is I haven't actually ran a race through Regent's Park, so I'm quite excited for that 10k we have in the new year. But I have done lots of running there myself, and I love how it's huge. It has so many secret corners. Mm. I love the bit with the zoo where I can visit the giraffes.
Yes, the giraffes is a strong part.
I've had some really fun, challenging times on the track that's there and you can use for free.
Yeah.
And then there's all of those really nice side bits where they have just the trees, the lined of trees, and it's just such a great place to see the seasons change.
Yeah, there's some really strong plants and trees in Regent's Park.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Mm. Yeah, always like the flowers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that, I think that's why I like it. Good park.
Good park. I would have said Regent's Park if you hadn't said it, so I'll go for my other favourite park.
Sorry.
Maybe I could just say it's Regent's Park as well. It's like the first place that I started running in London when I kind of half moved to London. I used to live in Euston, so I could just run along Euston Road for like 5 minutes and then I'd be at Regent's Park.
Oh God, and Euston Road is chaos. So in comparison,
it's like a really, really horrible route, followed by a really awesome bit of route, and then having to run back to Euston again.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, living near Euston, wouldn't recommend that. Pretty grotty. So other than Regent's Park, I will go for Victoria Park, because just it's my local park now. It's all up the canal to get there. There's like lots of different ways you can go around it. Really nice cafe there.
Good sculptures.
Yeah.
I've admired the sculptures in Victoria Park.
And my favourite part is the Chinese pagoda. Not sure why. Yeah. It's just a bit random. Quite like it.
There's always a pagoda in a park.
Yeah. If anyone's got any suggestions for what else we should talk about on the London series, let us know.
We might have to go into things like markets.
Yes. I was thinking coffee shops, but that's quite difficult.
Coffee. Always. Always coffee.
Brunch. But I think that might have to be the ultimate.
That would be hard. I don't think I could pick my favourite.
We'll work up to that one.
Maybe we should visit them and then we can rate them. Yes. I'm sure that'd be really exciting for everyone listening to this podcast.
Listen to us eating brunch that you can't see. Okay, cool.
This is really good.
Oh, but you might be able to see it now, actually, because we have moved. This is a kind of slightly technical thing, but we've moved podcast hosts. So we've moved from our old one and we're now on Acast, which is exciting. We're quite excited about it. And in certain platforms, you will actually be able to see images whilst you listen, once we work out the technicalities of doing that.
Yeah, we've gone a bit flashy.
Yeah. The biggest change that you will hear is that you might hear adverts every so often now in our podcast, because, you know, we want to pay for some new stuff to make us sound even better.
Improve our quality of listening.
So I don't think it will start straight away. It might not be for until the next episode, but it shouldn't be too intrusive.
So that was one for the road. You can find us all over the place on the internet. We've got oftrpodcast.wordpress.com. You can email us, and we'd love to hear your feedback or just to say hi. It's oftrpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram, occasionally so, and our handle is OFTRpodcast.
We're doing weekly tweets now and everything.
Don't tell people our secrets. Harriet's getting a grip of the internet by weekly tweeting.
Harriet, the person that works in digital marketing, is getting a handle on the internet.
Don't. Anyways. Tweet us and say hi.
Yes, do. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
See you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS.
Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.